Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Welcome to the fifth week of Holy and Great Lent, and as I'm sure we can all agree, it has gone by quite quickly. So we want to go through the last few weeks, Kida, to have a small recap and see where we are and where we ought to be. Last week was the week of the Samaritan woman, but it coincided with the feast of the Annunciation, so we did not read the story of the Samaritan woman. And if you remember last year, actually, it was the Feast of the Cross, so we also didn't read her story last year. So we want to just recap our journey thus far to see if we really understand this theme of repentance and healing that we ought to see throughout Lent. From the beginning, where Christ is tempted on the mountain and where He gives us the tools to combat temptation, to the story of the prodigal son, where He gives us the model and the how of repentance and how to return. And then we come to the Samaritan woman and the paralytic man of today, where we see a parallel. We see that Christ goes to them. Christ goes and searches for them. And it shows us that Christ is always seeking us. He's always looking for us. He's always asking us to return. He's always asking us if we want to be made well. And of course, He asks us because He wants us to do this of our own free will. He is actively seeking us, but sometimes we are stuck. We are sometimes in a spiritual paralysis. We can't move. So He has to come and He has to get us, because He is the one who is always looking for us. And as we saw with the Samaritan woman, He told her that He was thirsty, but it wasn't water that He was thirsty for. He was thirsty for her salvation. He was thirsty for her return. Because if you go back and actually read the story, nobody drank any water, right? He didn't get the water that he wanted to drink, and she left her water pot and she went to tell everyone what happened. So no one drank any water. So it had nothing to do with physical thirst. It was a spiritual thirst. And God teaches us to be thirsty for this living water that wells up inside of us into everlasting life. And today we come to another story where our Lord goes out to meet someone who is literally paralyzed, literally unable to move. A paralytic man who was waiting for the stirring of the waters. And as it seems there was no hope, and hope could not be found to him, hope came to visit him. Hope came to visit. And this gospel is filled with beautiful wisdom that we want to extract today. And the gospel starts by telling us that it was the feast of the Jews, but it doesn't tell us which feast. We don't know which feast it was. But through the study of the fathers and of the church, we know that it was the Feast of Weeks, which is the Old Testament Pentecost. The Old Testament Pentecost. And this feast was also related to the harvest. And we know that a harvest is what we get after we plant seeds. After we plant the harvest, this is where we reap the harvest. So planting a seed, we know, is a symbolism for baptism. The seed goes into the ground. It has to die in order to yield up fruit. And just like us, when we are baptized, we go into the water so that we may rise again with Christ. Now, we are told in Jerusalem there is a pool, sheep gate, a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethsaida, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the waters. And this shows us the state of the world before baptism. Before Christ comes and is baptized and offers us baptism, the world is blind. The world is lame and paralyzed. And through baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive freedom from this spiritual paralysis, right? The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who guides our lives, who gives us direction, so that the whole world is actually waiting for the stirring of the water, not just this paralyzed man. And St. John Chrysostom has a beautiful quote about this. He says, "The angel descended into the pool and would heal one person. But the Lord of the angels descended into the Jordan and moved its waters and healed the whole world." So it was the whole world who was really waiting for baptism. And in this week and next week, you'll see that there are many notions of baptism. God is calling us to renew our baptism with repentance and with coming back to Him. And again, this is happening on the Old Testament Pentecost. It foreshadows the New Testament Pentecost, which the disciples received what? The Holy Spirit. Tongues of fire on their heads. They received the Holy Spirit. So you see this parallel. You see this parallel here. And also this pool, by the way, was where they would wash the sacrificial lambs that were going to be sacrificed in the temple. This pool here. So we see, just like Christ, who takes away the sins of the world, was baptized before offering himself as a sacrifice, we see that there is a correlation there. So the church gives us this reading during Lent to teach us that it's through the tears of repentance and through being serious about baptism and our coming back to God that we are released from spiritual paralysis. Because that's what sin does. Sin paralyzes us. It makes us spiritually paralyzed. We find ourselves unable to read the Bible. We find ourselves unable to pray. When we come to pray, we don't know how to pray. It's stale. We're mute all of a sudden. We don't know what to say, and we get upset and we just want to get up and leave. We don't know how to confess and to repent and to sit with ourselves. And this is a form of spiritual paralysis. And today God is coming to remove this from us if we are willing. And this is why also we pray those beautiful words in Psalm 50. We say, renew a right spirit within me. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sometimes we need restoration in our spirits. So God is always looking to restore us and to see if we are willing to be restored. And as we continue, we see that a man who had an infirmity for 38 years was waiting for this water to be stirred. And Jesus, when he saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in this condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well?" And some would argue that this is a pretty odd question, don't you think? Wasn't it pretty obvious that this man wanted to be made well? I mean, he was sitting there and waiting for the stirring of the waters. So why the ask? Why would God ask him, "Do you want to be made well?" Why didn't God just go to him and say, "Take up your bed and walk right away"? Why the ask? Yes, because he, thank you, perfect. Yes, because he has free will, and God has given us free will, and he respects our free will. He respects our free will. He does not force himself upon us. Even though he knows and he sees us struggling in paralysis, we have to want to be released from this paralysis. Because sometimes we enjoy being spiritually paralyzed. We enjoy this victim mentality of, "I'm sitting here and God has forgotten me," or I can't read. I don't know how to read. I know how to read, but I just don't enjoy reading. And I don't want to be removed from this deep down inside of us. But no, Christ is calling us today and he's saying, you have free will. Hope is here, but you have to want it. We have to want to be made well from our spiritual paralysis. And we can take this a step further and hear God asking us, "Do you want to be serious? Do you want to be serious? Is it time to get serious now in our repentance?" We're now in the fifth week of Holy Lent. Are we fasting? Have we repented? Have we sat with Abuna? Have we confessed? Or has it gotten harder for us to read? Has it gotten harder for us to let go of sin? Right? Of course it's gotten harder. This is a time where Satan and all of the demons up their war during this Lent. And it's a time that we are called to up our prayers, up our fasting. Not just to fast from different kinds of foods. This is why we have the late liturgies, right? To help us to feel hunger as Christ felt hunger when he was on the mountain. To teach us to subject our body, right? To the Spirit. So God is asking us today, not only do you want to be made well, but are you ready to be serious? Are we ready to be serious? Because sometimes we acknowledge that we are spiritually paralyzed, but we don't feel like growing spiritually. So God here is asking us, and if we answer, "Yes, I want to be made well," God will tell us to take up our beds and walk. And he will give us freedom from this spiritual paralysis. And we will be able to pray. We will be able to read our Bibles. We will be able to understand what it is that we are reading. So this paralyzed man ends up getting up, just like the prodigal son got up and started his journey home. And he tells us that he got up and he began to run. And again, the man replied, going back to the story, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool." So God is asking, "Do you want to be made well?" "Man, I have no man to put me into the water when it is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And it is immediate. So we must ask ourselves today on this fifth week, are we willing to take up our beds and walk? Are we willing to start fasting if we haven't fasted? Are we willing to start praying, really sitting with God and speaking with Him and opening up our hearts to Him? Are we really willing to repent, to sit with ourselves and to look at every single thing that I have been doing and how I've been living my life, and to go to Abuna and tell him, here it is. Here is everything that I've been doing and I want to be released of. Have we reconciled with those who we have wronged? Or have we forgiven those who have wronged us? This is the time to be serious. We don't want to waste the rest of Lent, this being the fifth week. We are now at the tail end. Before you know it, Basra will be here. Before we know it, we will be saying Christos Anesti and we will be moving on to the Holy 50 days. So we don't want to waste this time. Let us take up our beds and let us wake up from the slumber and laziness and be serious in our repentance. We want to discuss a few things that are noteworthy in this gospel quickly. He says, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool, but whenever the water is stirred up, someone else steps down before me. Jesus Christ is this man. He comes to fulfill this, to reverse this. I have no man. Christ was incarnate and became that man to bring us hope, to bring us healing. And why is it that he had no man? If you think about it, surely he had family, right? Surely he had friends. Is anyone sitting here today not have family, not have friends, not have someone that you can call to count on? We all have family, we all have friends. So why is it that this man had no one to come and speak to him? And the fathers have a beautiful commentary about this, and it coincides with why he was paralyzed for 38 years. Why was it that 38? Why this number? We know that in our theology, numbers have a meaning. Why 38? Anyone know why specifically 38? The fathers tell us that it's 40 minus 2. What does the number 40 represent in our church? It represents... beautiful answer, thank you. Yes, completeness. It represents completeness, right? And we see this all the time. Christ fasted how many days and how many nights? 40. The Israelites in the desert? 40. Right? We commemorate someone after they have passed on? 40 days. 40, 40, 40, 40. So 40 is the number of completeness. And this man was lacking two things. 40 minus 2. He was lacking the two loves in his life. Two loves. Remember when they came to Christ and they said to him, what is the greatest commandment? Love your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we can see here the fathers contemplate the fact that he had no man, he had no one to help him, he lacked this love between his fellow man, his neighbor and himself. That wasn't there. And the fact that Christ came to him afterwards and said to him, sin no more lest something worse come upon you. It shows us that his paralysis was a direct result of his sin. So he lacked this love between him and God. So this is why it was 38 years. And if we too lack the love between us and God and the love between us and others, we too will be spiritually paralyzed. And we too will have something worse come upon us. So we have to be very, very careful that those two things are very, very important in our life. Because Christ said it. He said, on top of everything, everything hang on these two. The law and the prophets hang on these two. That we love God with all of our heart, all of our strength, and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. And if we do this, we will have no problem reading the Bible. We will have no problem confessing. We will have no problem forgiving others and going and apologizing to others. It's all one big beautiful formula when you think about it. And this is how we can repent. And this is how we can awaken from spiritual paralysis. We are meant to live in a community with one another and in communion with one another and in communion with God and in humility and love. And this is again how to cure spiritual paralysis. One of the fathers, Father Thomas Hupko, he's the author of the book of the Lenten Spring, which we highly recommend that you read during Lent. He says, people feel unhappy and they don't know why. They feel that something is wrong and they can't put their finger on it. They feel uneasy, confused, frustrated, alienated and estranged, and they can't explain it. They have everything, yet they want more. And when they get it, they are still empty and dissatisfied. They want fulfillment and it never seems to come. Everything is fine, yet everything is wrong. And he quotes St. Augustine and says, St. Augustine said it more than 1500 years ago, and we will forever be restless until we rest in Him. Our lives are made for God and will be unsatisfied, unfulfilled and frustrated until we find our home with Him. So now being the fifth week, are we still paralyzed spiritually? If we are, it's okay. God is telling us today, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be serious? If so, take up your bed and walk. Take up your bed and walk. Let us cast aside all pride and embrace humility and love, and let us plan to sin no more, lest something worse come upon us, and glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.